For 33. Psalm chapter 33. Let's just read it first, then we'll pray, and then we'll introduce it, and then we'll get into it. But first, I'd like to just read the Word of God. Psalm chapter 33, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he be delivered, or neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." Amen. That's Psalm 33. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to just open your word. Lord, I thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I thank you, Lord, for the light that your word just sheds on every situation and every walk of life. I thank you, Father, that it is a real living word. I thank you, Lord, that it is more than our necessary food. I thank you that it is all that we need in order to be made perfect. Lord, it's all that we need to live righteous in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your word testifies of you and of your goodness and of your great Son, Jesus Christ, who did all and more that we could ever think or hope for. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for your power and your might. And we just thank you for showing kindness upon us, being merciful to us, being gracious to us. Lord, I pray that you would just please meet with us. Lord, I pray that this afternoon, this morning, that we get a little taste of heaven. Lord, that we get a little taste of the world to come. Lord, the riches and the inheritance that you have, Lord. That, Lord, we'd set our affection upon those things which are above, not on these things right here in the earth. Lord, I pray that everything that would be done here would be done unto edifying. And Lord, that we would just exhort and comfort and bless one another. But Lord, that first and foremost, we would bless and praise thee. Lord, teach us to worship thee. Teach us to really love thee. Help us, Lord, to have the kingdom of God in our hearts, not in word, but in power, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm chapter 33 follows Psalm chapter 32, obviously, from a number standpoint. But Psalm 32, as we went through, we saw the blessings of forgiveness. And I'll tell you what, there is no greater blessing than to know that your sins, your guilt, your shame, all the things you did wrong in your life have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you appropriate that forgiveness and you ask for God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you in His blood, there's nothing like it. You'll never feel peace, you'll never feel joy, you'll never feel cleanliness like when you get up off your knees after knowing that you've been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 32, while it shows us the blessings of forgiveness, it is in a future prophetic sense a picture of the Jews during the tribulation. And we saw this, that the Jews during the tribulation will finally acknowledge their God and their Savior, Jesus Christ. And they will be forgiven of all their sins. They'll be forgiven of the sin of rejecting their Messiah. They'll be forgiven of the sin of crucifying their Messiah. They'll be forgiven of the sin of ignoring their God for all these years. And at that point, then God will preserve them through this seven-year tribulation period that's going to come upon them. And if you'll notice, Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. For each 7 years of the tribulation, he's talking about going through a hard time. Notice verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters. Okay, we're talking about problems and tribulations. Verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. And so God promises those Jewish people, when they will acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ their Savior, when they will turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness, that ultimately He will hide them and preserve them through that time of tribulation. And then ultimately, the end of verse 7, thou shalt compass me about. That means surround me about with songs of deliverance. Why? Because in verse 8, Jesus Christ comes back and He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way. You see, after 7 years of tribulation for those Jews, in the eighth year, they're going to be saved. They're going to be saved from their iniquities. They're going to be saved from their sins. They're going to be saved from their enemies, from the Antichrist, and from all the situation around them. And the Lord's going to come back. And at the end of chapter 32, we now have the segue from times of tribulation. And maybe you're going through times of tribulation in your life, hard times. Well, the first step is get it forgiven with the Lord. Get it under the blood of the Lord. And then we're going to segue from these times of tribulation in chapter 32 into rejoicing and praise and just a good time in the Lord in chapter 33. And of course, prophetically, it's a picture of the Jews going through their 7 year of tribulation and then coming out of that and coming into the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ Himself will come back to this earth and He will sit on His throne that is rightfully His in Jerusalem, and He will rule this world in righteousness and in judgment. And there'll be no more thieves in office stealing from you. There'll be no more crooks, in the businesses trying to take advantage of you. Well, maybe they'll try and get around, but Jesus Christ will spot them and He'll get rid of them. Jesus Christ is going to rule in righteousness and judgment. And so now in chapter 33 being the age of Jesus Christ when He was crucified and resurrected. And so Jesus Christ, when He comes back, is going to usher in this 1,000-year millennial period. And here we see at the end of chapter 32, verse 11, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And He continues that right into chapter 33, in verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. He says it again, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Rejoice. Rejoicing is to take joy in something, to really like adhere to and love and appreciate and just bask in the glory of something. Rejoicing. And notice what our rejoicing is supposed to be in. It's to be in the Lord. Our rejoicing is not to be in pleasures of the flesh. although many people do rejoice in the pleasures of the flesh, our rejoicing is not to be in sports or some sports figures or some sports events, but our rejoicing is to be in the Lord. Our rejoicing, not even necessarily be in His Word, although we will rejoice in His Word, but in the Lord Himself when He shows up. We're going to be rejoicing in Him. And rejoice, it's just, notice the word rejoice. And it's kind of like taking joy in something over and over again. You know, when I think of that song, I love to tell the story. You know, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. Right? I mean, we love to hear the old story of how God loved man so much that He gave His only begotten Son to be made sin for us, to be beaten and whipped and hung on a cross to take our penalty, to take our sin and our shame. He took it all upon Him and shed His blood for us. What love is that? We love to rejoice in that story. See, it's not just we take joy in it once and then we forget about it, but we rejoice. Amen. We rejoice in the Lord. And He's going to expound upon what rejoicing entails for praise. You rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise. See, when you rejoice in the Lord, you are praising the Lord. What is praise? Well, modern psychologists and modern psychiatrists like to use the word praise for children. They tell us all the time, you ought to praise your children. Never discipline them. Never tell them they've ever done anything wrong. Always praise them and tell them everything they've done right. And even when they've done wrong, find something to praise them for. Well, a false balance is abomination of the Lord. Okay? Yes, you should praise your children when they do right. And yes, you should love your children. But on the other hand, your children also need to be disciplined. They need to be corrected. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, right? So there needs to be a balance. But praise, what is praise? Praise is an acknowledging of when someone has done something good. You acknowledge them for that. Or you acknowledge maybe just the goodness of who the person is. Maybe it's not necessarily something they've done, but just who they are. And we ought to praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to praise Him for that which He has done for us. Saved us from death. Saved us from hell. He's given us a home in heaven. He's reserved a mansion for us in glory. He's adopted us into His family. He hasn't left us alone on this earth to just fend for ourselves and try to figure out what we have to do with the rest of our lives. No, He's adopted us into His family. He's become our good, our benevolent, our loving Father who wants to take care of us and nurture us and teach us and guide us in the way of righteousness. We ought to praise the Lord for that. He's a good God. He's worthy of being praised. But not only just to praise Him for what He's done, but also to praise Him for who He is. We ought to praise the Lord for who He is. Who is the Lord? He's holy. What does holy mean? Well, we have no concept in 21st century America. Yeah, we don't have much of a concept of holiness. But holiness, someone who is right, someone who is complete, someone who is without error, without defilement, or without perverseness, without bad motives or ill intentions. He is holy. He is wholly clean, not only on the outside, but on the inside. Not just putting on a show on the outside, but something else on the inside. Not just putting on a show in the pulpit, but something else in His private life. But He's holy, wholly complete, wholly perfect. He's righteous. He has your best intention at heart. He's not out to hurt you. This concept of God the Father, who's a big, bad, mean father, just trying to whip you any chance he gets, that's not God the Father. You don't understand or you don't know God yet. You get to know God, and you'll praise Him. You'll love Him. He's worthy. He's a good God. Notice, for praise is comely for the upright. The word comely implies like an appropriateness. That which is, I'd say, yeah, appropriate's a good word. That which is appropriate, that which is suitable. It's not, sometimes people think comely means beautiful, but it doesn't mean beautiful. It's a different word. It's more that which is suitable and that which is appropriate. It implies a physical attribute, but it's that which is suitable. And he's saying that praise is suitable for the upright. It's appropriate for the upright. Now this verse can cut two ways. One way is for praise is comely for the upright, and we think of the upright as us. You know, when we get saved and when we are walking with the Lord and the Lord sees us as being upright, it is comely for us to praise God. If we are upright, we ought to be praising God. If we're not praising God, we're probably not upright. But this verse can also cut another way. The upright could also be Jesus Christ. Could be the Lord himself. Notice, for praise is comely for the upright. It's appropriate for us to praise the Lord who's upright. He's the only one who's truly upright from birth to death, from everlasting to everlasting. None of us are. But he's making us upright in him. He's going to make us appropriate and righteous. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. And we're going to be praising the Lord, not only just with our mouth, not only with our lips. That's where it starts. He talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, offering the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of our lips, which is acceptable unto God. But also, he wants music involved. You see, God has invented music. God created music. And so God, obviously, there's a good purpose for music. Now, we're going to take a look at music a little bit today and how it can be perverted and twisted for a bad purpose. But ultimately, the Lord has created music, and it's good to praise the Lord with different instruments. He has the instrument of the harp. He has the instrument of the psaltery. A psaltery, it's kind of like a harp. It's a stringed instrument. It was traditionally made with bronze strings, I guess. And the picture of the psaltery I saw had 16 strings on it. And it's you kind of hold it in front of your chest and kind of strum it like a guitar. And an instrument of 10 strings. The Lord has created music, and he wants... we're musical creatures. You know, there's something about music that just... Music... We're going to talk a little bit about music and the spirit that music gives. Music is very spiritual. Very spiritual. I don't think people really realize just how spiritual music is and how much music can affect and influence your spirit and your attitude and your emotions and your desires. And I'm not even talking about the lyrics. You see, when we take a look at music, there's really, if you break down music, you can break it down into three categories. You can break it down to the lyrics, then the music itself, and you can break that down into subcategories, harmonies, melodies, and then also rhythm. But if you ignore the rhythm, and we know that rhythm's powerful, and we know that rhythm can get you to want to do certain things, whether it be want to march and go to war, those marching rhythms, or whether it be certain rhythms that you know, are only appropriate for husbands and wives, and you know what I'm talking about. And there are certain rhythms that will invoke certain desires out of you. But ignore the rhythm, ignore the lyrics. Music itself, very spiritual. Very spiritual. And what the Lord wants music to be used for is he wants it to be used for as an instrument to praise God. As an instrument or as a means to be a blessing unto him. Now, most music on planet Earth is not being used as an instrument or a means to bring praise to God or to be a blessing to him. Most music on planet Earth is used as an instrument to glorify man or to glorify certain lusts and desires of man. Amen? But notice, I just want to see that the Lord is in favor of music, and the Lord is in favor of using instruments in music. There's nothing wrong with that, because I know there are certain Christians that are so extreme that, you know, we only sing. There's no instruments in our song services, and, you know, they think instruments are inherently evil. And I wouldn't go that far. I see, obviously, that the Lord has them using instruments here in Psalm 33, verse 2. Look at verse 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. So we see in Psalm 33, the first three verses are referring to and aimed and directed at praising the Lord. And the main method of praise that is being shown forth is through music. Praise through music, praise through song. And before I get into this new song thing, playing skillfully with a loud noise, I just want to demonstrate for you briefly just how spiritual music is. And the first time I was really, it became so real to me just how spiritual music is somebody sent an email to my mom, and it was about this thing about cats versus dogs. I don't know if anybody ever saw this. And what they did was they were talking about how cats were evil and dogs were good. And so they would play a video of these dogs, and they play this happy strumming guitar, we're all having a good time, and your emotions, you know, oh, everything's good, you know, and you could just feel the spirit, and there's no lyrics, it's just pictures of dogs, and, you know, just having a good time. And then all of a sudden, a cat would come on the screen, and there'd be this evil, eerie kind of music, the violin screeching, and you could just instantly, your spirit would change. Instantly, you just felt your emotions change. And so I just want to show you that music, apart from rhythm, apart from lyric, is spiritual. It affects your spirit. And I was never very keen to this. I wasn't discerning of this. But recently, in fact, within the last few weeks on my trip, the Lord just showed me just how spiritual music is. So listen to this chord that I'll play. What kind of spirit do you get from that kind of chord? Uplifting, happy. Simple, right? Now listen to this. Similar, but slight difference. Any difference? Anybody notice? A little richer, a little sweeter. You got a little added. Getting sweeter. Maybe we're starting to get a little too sweet. You hear the difference? You see, no rhythm, no lyrics, you can just, now listen to this. Now what spirit, what mood, what emotion is invoked from that? Brings you down, you feel the, right? You feel that? You hear it? See, just the, apart from rhythm, apart from lyrics, just the music itself. Now, how about this? How's that?
What was that?
What kind of spirit do you get from that? Scary, kind of eerie. That'd be like a horror film, and the murderer is coming around the corner, and you hear the right. And you see, so music is very spiritual. Music can create a spirit and a mood inside of you that will stay with you. And you need to be wary of this. You need to be alert to this fact. You need to be aware, and you need to be discerning of this. Because ultimately, we want to praise the Lord in music. But our praise is a sacrifice, according to Hebrews chapter 12. And just like in the Old Testament, that God had a certain sacrifice that was acceptable to Him, and then there were sacrifices that were not acceptable to Him, it's going to be the same way with music. Music, being spiritual, there's going to be certain music that we're going to be able to offer up to God that's going to be acceptable to God. It's going to be a sacrifice that's well-pleasing in His eyes. And then there's also going to be music that you're going to offer up to God and He's not going to accept. He's not going to be well-pleased with it. And we want to be aware of the spirit that the music invokes in us. Notice what it says in verse 3. Sing unto Him a new song. Sing unto Him a new song. Now, what most people will do is they'll take this and they'll say, well, that means chronologically, time-wise, a new song. So, you know, we're not going to sing the old hymns. We're going to come up with some new contemporary songs and sing those new songs to the Lord. And God's going to be happy with that because He just told us to sing unto Him a new song. And that's what many people do. But according to the book of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that there's nothing new under the sun. He says, that which is being done hath already been. So when we think, you know, oh, that's a new sound, or that's a new music, or that's a new something, it's actually It's already been. Okay, for instance, rap music. It's a new sound in the contemporary modern music movement. But really, it's already been. That's from the jungles of Africa. They've been doing that for thousands of years. There's nothing new. The only thing different is now they have computers and they synthesize sounds. What I want to tell you is just very simply, as I was driving cross country and listening to different music, the Lord began impressing on me to just pay attention to the music I was listening to and the mood that it would create, the spirit that it would create in me. And I'll tell you right now, as someone who listened carefully and has listened to a lot, the difference between the spirit created from acoustic instruments, that means not plugged in, it's just, you know, whether it be a string or whether it be a piano or be something like that, or a brass or flute, versus the spirit created from electric instruments. There's a difference in that spirit. There's a difference. Now, you might not be aware of it, but you can do your own experiments, but I'm telling you right now, there's a cleanliness to acoustic. Now, it doesn't mean that all acoustical music will be clean, but there is a certain cleanliness that's there in the spirit as opposed to the electric music that isn't there. There's a certain hollowness and shallowness and a void in synthesized music that isn't there in the acoustical music. See, I noticed, if you listen to 80s music at all, the 80s music will create a sense of longing. It'll create a sense of, you know, you want more. And you have the high as long as you're listening to the song, but as soon as the song's over, you're let down, and you got to hear another one. And you got to go back, and you got to listen again. It creates that sort of, that buildup that, you know, you're longing for something, you're desiring something, and it's not quite within reach, it's not quite there. It might be a sentimental thing, you're reaching back into the past. Or it might be a desire, a corrupt desire of the future, and you're reaching forward hoping, but it's never quite there. It's creating something that's not real. It's a very hollow, shallow sound. And you have the high as long as you're listening to it, but as soon as it's over, it just levels out. And what I want to pose to you is that God wants a new song. And He doesn't want a new song that's contemporary. But He wants a new song that comes from a new man. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want our songs and our praise to be acceptable to God. And just like in the Old Testament, if those Jews would bring a lamb that had some spots, had some blemishes, God wouldn't accept that. He wanted it to be pure, without spot, without blemish. And it's going to be the same way with music. The Lord wants a new song. It doesn't have to do with contemporary. It doesn't have to do with modern. There's nothing new under the sun. Looking at things under the sun, all the things that man, the evil inventions that man comes up with, those things have been going on for thousands of years. What he wants is a new song, and a new song can only come from a new man, which comes from him. Because every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the new song he's talking about. He's not talking about new time-wise. He's talking about new spiritual-wise. He doesn't want that old spirit of that old music that you used to offer up in sacrifice to him. Now again, I'm talking about music. I'm not even talking about the lyrics. Music itself is spiritual. The rhythms invoke certain spirits and certain, you know, desires of the flesh. The lyrics will also play onto it, but ultimately, you know, lyrics and song, if you have a lyric saying one thing but a song saying another thing, that's just double-minded. It doesn't make sense. It's unstable. Okay? So really, to have the best song you can have, you want the lyrics and the rhythm and the music to all be one, three in one, all pointing in the same direction. And we want these to be pointing towards the direction of God. Go a couple books further to Ephesians chapter 5, or 4, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and let's start in verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You see, God wants us to put some things off. It's not all about getting things and being blessed. Something's got to be put off before you can get blessed. And what he wants us to do is he wants us to take that old man, that old way of thinking, those old desires. See, the old man's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Those old things that I really love those things. Yeah, but they're killing you, man. Take those things. Take that old man. Put it off. And what are we going to do? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, when you're born again, when you become a child of God, that's all born again means. You become a child of God. You become His child. You're spiritually born into God's family. How do I get that? Galatians 3, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. When you take your faith off yourself, you take your faith off of me, you take your faith off of others, you take your faith off of man, off of religion, off of everything. Take your faith off it all and just put your faith in Jesus Christ. What He did on that cross and His resurrection, put your faith just in Him. When you do that, you become a child of God. You're born into His family. And at that point, now you have two men. You have a new man, and you have an old man. And God says He wants you to sing a new song unto Him. Now, do you think new means contemporary? Or do you think new has to do with the new man, the spiritual man? God wants you to put off the old man. The old man was contemporary. The old man was hip. The old man was cool with the times. The old man had all the latest fads, listened to all the latest dope music. That was the old man. But he's old. You want to put that old man off, and you want to put on the new man. What's the new man? He's after God. He's created in righteousness and true holiness. See, the new man knows what is really right. Not what everybody else thinks is right. Who cares what everybody else thinks is right? People are stupid. Let's be honest, okay? Come on. People are sheep. People will do anything to be accepted. Who cares what they think is right? How about what God thinks is right? You know what? He made this planet. He made this universe. He knows how it works best. Why not just get to know Him and get to know what He thinks is right? It's going to work out best for you too. You can be selfish and be a good Christian. Do what's best for yourself for once, rather than doing what, you know, just pleases me for right now but kills me later. Amen? Okay, we got to put on this new man. And it's in this new man that God wants us to sing a new song to Him. Now, what I want to proffer to you is and I haven't gone back and looked at the music of the 1700s and 1800s, but that the music of the 1900s, the popular music of the 1900s, is all from the same tree. It's all from the same tree. Let me show you a verse. Matthew. Chapter 7. Verse 17. All the music from the 1900s and now into the 2000s, it's all from the same tree. It's all the same tree. Just some have branched out in different directions, but it all same tree. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's very basic. If I have a good tree, it brings forth good fruit. That's all there is to it. Can't bring forth bad fruit if it's a good tree. It's impossible. If I have a bad tree, it can't bring forth good fruit. It's a bad tree. The music of the 1900s and into the 2000s is a corrupt tree. It's a corrupt tree based on the gratification of self and the glorification of self. That's what all the music's about in the 1900s and into the 2000s. The music, as far as I see the musical tree, it started with blues and ragtime, I'd say would be the trunk. And then that split off into two main categories. You had the country, and then you had the big band jazz. And you went off in these two branches. And then the big band jazz, you know, branched off into bebop and into cool jazz of the 60s. And then the country branched off into maybe, you know, the old hoedown country style. And then maybe more of the rock style. And then Elvis came up. And then the Beatles, and then it became rock. It branched off. But it's all from the same. If you go back and you study the origins of the music, it all connects back to ragtime and blues. They all connect back to that same thing. And what's it all about? It's all about the gratification of self and the betterment of man. And they split off, and then of course jazz continues into, I mean, then you get the fusion stuff, and then the fusion degenerates ultimately into the modern techno garbage, and also into the rap. And then of course on this side, the rock, you know, you have the classic rock of the 70s, which became the shallow, hollow pop of the 80s, branched off there. And then of course you have the heavy metal rock of the 90s, and into the 2000s, but it's all from the same tree. You can all trace it back to one common ground, that ragtime and that blues. That's the common ground of all modern music. It all comes from the same tree, and it's a corrupt tree, and it can't bring forth good fruit. God wants a new song in our mouth. He wants a new song in our heart. He doesn't want it coming from the old man and the deceitful lusts. Go back to the book of Psalms, and he's going to expound on this. In Psalm chapter 40. Now that doesn't mean that we can't come up with some new songs, but new doesn't mean contemporary or modern. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about it's coming from the new man, the new heart. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Anybody here can attest to that? Lord, bring you up out of an horrible pit. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I was filthy and I was defiled, and he set my feet upon a rock. And that rock was Christ. And that rock was his word. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You see that new song? That new song is not like the old songs from the pit. That new song is not like those old songs from the miry clay, But I'm singing this new song because he's taken me out of that pit and I don't want to go back. He's taken me out of that miry clay and I don't want to go back and get dirty. And he's put me on a rock and now I'm praising him for saving me. I'm praising him for saving my soul. I'm praising him for taking me out of that pit. And many shall hear it and see and fear and be glad and trust in the Lord. That's what the new song is about. And I just wanted to spend some time on that because I know a lot of people take this new song thing and they use it as an excuse to play whatever they want and then put the name of Jesus Christ on it. Or play whatever they want and throw some lyrics that are godly lyrics. Friends, the music itself is spiritual. How do I know? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. You don't need lyrics. Now I understand that music, you know, is tied to rhythm. It's kind of hard to divorce the rhythm from the music, although you can, as I was just showing you, if you just play chords and harmonies and hear the spirit that is invoked by that. But music really affects your moods. Music's like food. It's like spiritual food. And good music is like good fruit and good vegetables that are health to your bones, and they're good for you, and they clean you out, and they make you feel good, and they give you energy. But bad music, ignore the lyrics, just the music itself is like spiritual junk food. It'll give you a high for right now, but later it's just going to leave you down and out. Later it's going to just leave you fat and lazy. And that's what junk food does to you physically. That's what spiritual junk food will do to you, you know, musically. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. You see, these people had a lot more sense than we do. I thought we've evolved so far. We know so much. We got these kids who are just a complete mess. They're just wild cases bouncing off of the walls. You can't, and people have no idea. How do we control them? Let's just drug them. Let's just give them so much drugs they can't even move. That's our solution. These people had enough sense. An evil spirit's upon them. That's why he's behaving like a nutcase and a madman. Because the spirit that you're letting into the house through that television, the spirits you're letting into that house through the music, it'll drive a kid nuts. I'll tell you the solution for most of the problems with these kids. You just get rid of the TV. You watch that ADD disappear. Why do you think they can't sit for more than a half hour? Because they're programmed to sit in front of a TV that is constant motion, and it's always all these new things popping on the screen, and they're always being fascinated and tantalized, and then every 5 minutes, you know, there's a commercial, and then back to this, and they're just all the time, and all of a sudden they get up, and they just, when you get in real life, people don't actually move like that. Life doesn't actually happen like that, and they're going nuts. You know, I need all this movement. A real simple solution. Get rid of the evil spirit coming upon them from that spiritual thing they're watching or from the spiritual things they're hearing. But here they had enough sense that, you know what, good music can also get rid of a bad spirit and bring a good spirit. And there's many testimonies of that, of people who've been troubled, who couldn't sleep, and listened to good harp music or piano music, and it helped soothe them and go to sleep, sent away the bad spirit. Basic stuff. I know we've evolved so far and we know so much now. That's why we can't control our kids. Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. And then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and a prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Seems like when the Lord's with you, you tend to have a lot of talents. Look at that. This guy's just loaded. Verse 19, Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. See that? Not all evil spirits are from the devil. Sometimes because you've disobeyed the Lord. That's what happened to Saul. When the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. One of the greatest things for your spirit is some good music. And some good music and praise to the Lord. That'll clean you. I'll tell you that when I went to Florida, and we were in that place with about 800, 900 people, and people that just loved the Lord and wanted to praise Him, and we sang out with all our hearts. I mean, we were just shouting and singing to the Lord, and they were playing skillfully with a loud noise up there. They had the snare drum playing the march beat, and they had the piano and the organ and the brass and the tubas, and they had it all going. And man, we were just hooting and hollering, having a good time, praising the Lord. And when I walked out of that place that night, that was the cleanest I've felt ever in my life. I'm not talking physically clean. I'm talking soul and spirit. Just cleanse. I mean, you're just nothing like feeling clean inside. You ever been real filthy and you come home and you take a nice hot shower and you just clean yourself up? Feels good, doesn't it? Nothing like taking a good shower when you're a mess. Nothing like taking a good spiritual shower when you're filthy inside. And one of the things that'll clean you and refresh you, singing a new song to your God. Did He bring you up out of a horrible pit? Did He set your feet upon a rock? Well, then we ought to sing a new song to the Lord. We ought to sing a new song to the Lord. Go back to Psalm 33 and we'll wrap it up. Music's a powerful thing. It can defile you and pervert you, or it can clean you and refresh you. Very powerful. God created it. Created it for it to be good. The question is, what are you using it for? Psalm 33, he tells us to rejoice in the Lord. He tells us to praise Him. Praise Him with harp, sing to Him with psaltery, play with an instrument of 10 strings. He tells us to sing unto Him a new song, to play skillfully with a loud noise. You say, why should we do that? Verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right. And all His works are done in truth. Can I just encourage you? The more you walk in this life, and the more you learn about this word, the more you're going to learn the word of the Lord is right. And all His works are done in truth. Sin might look like it's fun now, but one day you're going to find out the word of the Lord is right. I would have been better off just obeying that word. Husbands, wives, kids. You're going to find out. You're going to find out. The word of the Lord is right. And all His works are done in truth. And the more you can just bring your life in line with His word, the more you can just bring your family in line with His word, the more right you will be. The more right your family will be, the more right our church will be, the more right this nation would be. For the word of the Lord is right. Why is this nation in the mess that it's in? Because the word of the Lord's right. And we've rejected the word of the Lord and gone our own way. Word of the Lord's right. Hey, all I got to do is take a look around me right today. Turn on the news and just take a look. And I know the word of the Lord's right. That's all I got to do. And the more you see of the evil and the good, the more you'll see that the word of the Lord is right and all His works are done in truth. Notice first that the word comes first. The word comes first. The word comes before the works. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And all things were made by Him. You see, the word was first. I know the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, and then also the spoken word. And then the works followed. It's going to be the same in your life. You can't work yourself out to be a good person and work yourself out to be real good, and then I'll get religious, and then I'll get the Bible. No, the word of the Lord comes first.
Amen.
You have to come to the word of the Lord first. The word will clean you. The word will straighten you out, and then your works will follow. If God did that order, you're not going to beat that order. It's the same thing. The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. You see, it's right. There's a difference between right and truth. Did you know that? There's a difference between right and truth. That which is right is always true, but that which is true is not always right. Think about that for a second. It'd be possible for me to say something that is true, but it wouldn't be the right thing to do. It wouldn't be right. For instance, let's say Ray did something against me that offended me. Then according to the Bible, I'm supposed to go to Ray and tell him what he did that offended me and get it right between Ray and me. Now, what I could do is I could do like 99.9% of people on planet Earth, and I could run to somebody else and tell them what Ray did against me that offended me and complain about it and not get anything better. And what I would be saying would be true, what Ray did, but it wouldn't be right. You see, the word of the Lord not only is true, but it's right. It'll help you to be right in all manners of practice and thought and deed. Praise the Lord. We're going to come back to this next week. We'll spend some more time on that verse. But we just want to take a look a little bit today about praise and about singing and about music. Very spiritual. Pay attention. Pay attention. I challenge you. Pay attention to the music you listen to and to the spirit it invokes in you afterward. You'll be very surprised. The Lord showed this to me, and I was just amazed to see just how powerful music is. Ignore the lyrics, just the music itself. But the Lord, word of the Lord is right. Amen. Word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, it is right. I thank you that it just gives us such discernment. It gives us the ability to discern between good and evil. It gives us the ability to know that which is right in your eyes and that which is wrong. It gives us the ability to detect that which is of you and that which is of the world. And Lord, I thank you that you are right. And thank you that you have revealed this word to us. You haven't kept us in the dark. And I thank you for each and every person here. Lord, I pray that you would just please open all of our hearts to just receive instruction from you. Open all of our eyes to see just how good you are. Lord, I pray that you would just touch each and every soul here. And Lord, just let them know that the word of the Lord is right. And all your works are done in truth. And help us to read this word and heed this word and live this word and then ultimately feed this word to other people. Thank you for your goodness. Help us to praise you and be a blessing to you in this next upcoming hour. In Jesus' name, amen.